on this week's episode, I'm going to explain the closer you are to your attacker, the safer you are. Welcome to the Mind Your Self-Defense Podcast, where my goal is to teach men and women how to gain confidence by connecting to their inner badass. I am your host, Sensei Andrew. I am a black belt in Krav Maga, NRA firearms instructor, a U.S. Navy veteran, and owner of Rise Above Self-Defense. By using interviews with industry professionals, self-defense students, product reviews, and personal experience, I can help guide you to your badass. Welcome back to the Mind Your Self-Defense Podcast. I know that you guys are probably wondering in the title, what does he mean, the closer I am to my attacker, the safer I am? Well, I'm glad you're asking yourself that question, because I'm going to explain it to you guys. Now, this is just my opinion, my theory, my mindset, and it was not developed overnight. It's taken years of testing with different level of opponents, testing it out to beginners, 100% beginners where they've never done any kind of martial arts, a moderate martial artist, intermediate martial artist, advanced martial artist, and like high level, you know, ready to compete in the UFC style level martial artist. And most of them would agree with me that the closer you are to your attacker, the safer you are. It doesn't mean you want to be close to your attacker if you have an opportunity to run. If you can avoid a fight, avoid the fight. That's the best self-defense you could do, is don't get into the fight in the first place. But for whatever reason, if you are not able to get out of the fight and you have to fight, especially if you're the shorter person in the fight, you want to get closer to your opponent, to where you grapple them. And it turns more into a wrestling match than it does into a boxing match. If you know how to fight inside the arms, if you know how to grapple, if you know how to wrestle better than you know how to box, then you should wrestle. If you know how to box but you don't know how to wrestle, then you need to box and keep them away from you. You don't want them to come in and start wrestling you. The thing is that if you look at the way physics works and body mechanics, if I'm clinched up with someone, if I'm grabbing, say I have both of my hands on their shirt, and they try to hit me, and I pull their, but I take that back. If I have both my hands on their shirt and I pull them in close to me, to where chest to chest, or if I'm hanging onto his neck and his shirt at the same time, and he tries to hit me, I am not gonna feel a lot of pain with those punches or slaps or whatever he does, because he's not able to generate a lot of power on that. So you have to understand how to generate power. I'll do an episode on that. That's a good topic. So if they're really close to you, you can manipulate them if you know how to fight grappled or clinched. And you don't have to worry about too much damage from their shots. Most people do not know how to fight in a clinch. Do not know how to fight. Most people don't know how to wrestle. So if you know how to wrestle or how to move yourself to where you could give them a takedown on them and they can't take you down, you have a big advantage over people. Okay? And the main thing you have to be aware of is balance. If you are really close to your opponent, you have to maintain your balance at all times, and you have to try to get them off balance. It's like the previous episode I did when I was talking about the push-pull energy. Being really, really close to the person is where you feel the push-pull energy a lot. Especially if you're grabbing them and they're grabbing you. Some of the bigger, stronger person is going to try to pull or push you. So if you understand the physics behind it, it'll make you a better fighter. So if you understand how to manipulate the energy of the push-pull, and you get someone in a clinch or you're wrestling, you don't have to worry about so much about getting hit by very powerful shots. Now, I'm not saying you cannot get hit by powerful shots. If the person knows what they're doing, they're not going to be using their hands to hit you. They're going to be using their head. They're going to be using their elbows, or they're going to be using their knees. So just I'm not saying, because you're close, you eliminate a lot of stuff. You eliminate punches. You eliminate kicks. So if you don't know how to fight, or you're not that good at blocking, if you don't know how to throw punches, and you don't know how to throw kicks, or you don't know how to block kicks or block punches, being close is really good. Or if you're shorter than the person that you're fighting. But you have to know how to fight inside the arms or clinched up or wrestling if you're inside that person. So you need to know how to use your elbows, how to use your knees, and how to use your head with proper headbutts. Okay? Being close to the person also helps you know where their hands are. If their hands are right next to you or in front of you, and their elbows are bent, so their hands are cut, their arms are in front of them and not hitting you, you can see them better. And if one hand disappears, you better trap that hand, because that person is going for something that's going to give them an advantage over you. So that means that they're going to pull a weapon out, whether a gun, a knife, a screwdriver, whatever. If you're in the middle of a fight and the person moves one hand to reach for something on their waist, they are not going to do anything that's going to benefit you. They are not pulling out a camera so they could take a selfie with you. They are not your friends. They're doing something because they feel that they're losing the fight. So they're going to pull something out that is going to turn the tables on you. So it's not going to be good for you. If you are close to them and you could see that, then it gives you time to react to that and stop the weapon from coming out. That's key, guys. The best weapon, the best defense against a weapon is not to fight against the weapon in the first place. So if you can find, if you could see them reaching for something, it doesn't matter what they're reaching for. If you see that hand drop, and it's going to the waistband. It could be in the front of the waist. It could be in front of them where their stomach's at, appendix. It could be on either hip, or it could be on the small of their back. Okay? It doesn't matter. If you see their hand moving towards the waistband, jump on that hand. If you can, get two on one. So that means both your arms, two hands on that one arm. If you can, pin it against their body. Whether it be a body lock, a T grip. It's just, there's so many different ways to do it. But understand that if you have their arm pinched against their own body, in between your body and their body, it gives you a big advantage because that weapon is not in play anymore. And it could help you set up for a takedown. So where you could drop them to the ground. For me and a lot of other industry guys that are really guys that I admire, the best way to disarm someone is to take them to the ground. So don't try to catch the weapon while you're fighting. If you can, avoid the weapon in the first place by not letting them take it out. But if you're too late for that, you try to control the arm that's controlling the weapon, and then take them down. And when they hit the ground, if they don't drop the weapon, then you'll be in a better position to take the weapon away when they're on the ground. Okay. There are techniques for that. And the best way to test that out is you got to pressure. You got to, like I talked about the other episode, force on force. You got to try your knife techniques and see if it works when it's unscripted. And, you know, there's a couple fun ways to test to see if you get stabbed or not without actually getting stabbed. You could put on a white suit, like the ones you get at Home Depot if you're going to paint. And you shed some pounds on that thing because those things are hot as hell too. And you get a couple Sharpies, or you have one person with a Sharpie and the other person in a white suit, or both in a white suit and each one with Sharpies, however you want to play. And the Sharpies are knives. And you say, here's your knife, here's my knife, here's my Sharpie, your Sharpie. And then you say, go. And the person with the more Sharpie marks on their white suit is the loser. So that's one way to do that. I've done that a couple times with my students. They seem to dig it. It's fun. Tiring is fun, but you get a lot of information out of it. If you don't test unscripted stuff, you're not going to be able to see how you'll truly react. That's why I talked to you guys about that force on force training and why it's so important. So the same thing with being close to someone. If you grab them, you need to know how to fight in a clinch or in wrestling, or how to, in a grapple, I should say. Because it will make it better for you. You will be better off. Not only are you looking at their hands, but you're also looking at their feet. And the reason why you look at the feet is because of their feet are side by side with each other and yours are spaced out in a fighting stance. You're going to have a more solid base. The more solid your base is, the harder it is for them to take you off balance. And if they are off balance, then it's easier for you to take them to the ground. So when you're fighting, especially if you're clinched up, if you're grabbing onto each other, watch their hands. Know where their hands are at all times, because a weapon is more important to worry about than the balance. But if you know where their hands are, if they're grabbing you with both their hands, or even punching you and you know their hands are empty, then you know you don't have to worry about a weapon. But as soon as they stop punching you with one hand and the hand disappears, you need to jump on that hand, because they are not stopping using that hand unless they're going to get something that's going to benefit them. Okay, so you guys need to focus on the hands first. Know where the hands are. If they're empty, you don't have to worry as much. As soon as you see that hand disappear, your alert level better go to take care of that hand that disappeared first. Okay? Once you get that hand secured, then you could focus on feet. I'm not telling you you have to physically look down and see where their feet are. If you understand the push-pull energy, you will feel it when they're moving. You could tell right away in less than 15 seconds, guys. If you move in on your person and you watch the way they move, you're going to know if they have footwork or not. If they don't have footwork, then use your footwork to get yourself in a good position to where you could come in on them and get them off balance fast and end the fight by taking them to the ground. If there's more than one attacker, take that sucker to the ground and then worry about the next guy. Most of the time, if you take the first one or two guys out down, the rest of the guys won't want to mess with you. Okay? Because normally, when you have a group of attackers, most of the time, the strongest fighter is going to be the first one that comes up to you. And if you take him out, you're gonna demoralize the rest of the guys. And then there's always going to be, you know, like if you ever watch Jack Reacher, the very first one, where they're outside the bar and there's like five or six dudes that want to jump Tom Cruise. And he looks at the guys and he goes, okay, I take it by your action. You're the leader. He goes, you're the next guy. Then there's a couple eager beavers right here I might have to take out. And you two guys are probably going to be the ones that run away. And, you know, they end up attacking him. And sure enough, it's the way he predicted it. And, you know, I found that funny, but I could see that happening. So normally the one that's flexing the hardest is going to be the leader. And if he comes at you and you take him down fast, one, it's going to shock the other guys. And there might be one or two eager dudes that want to continue. And then most of the rest of the guys are going to run away or not engage at all. Because you're going to go from strongest to weakest. And the mentality is that the weakest one, see the strongest guy go down, they're going to be the crap. If he can't beat him, I can't beat him. So just having that understanding is watch their footwork. If you know their footwork and you understand push-pull energy, you could take them to the ground pretty fast. Okay? Now, how do you get close? That's a good question. If you are a shorter person and you have to get in close, one, so you could hit them, or two, so you could grapple with them. If you know that you're going to go in, then shield up and enter. So what I mean by that is protect yourself, protect your face and your head, and go in fast and hard. If you go in, one of my students nicknamed it the vampire, and it's stuck ever since. So what you do with vampire is you pull your arm around your face to where your chin is inside the crook of your elbow. It doesn't matter which elbow you're using. So you look like a vampire pulling a cape over his face. Then your other elbow, you open your palm and you rest it on the back of your head where that elbow is protecting the side of your head. Okay? And you tuck that elbow in nice and tight. It should be touching your other elbow or your other arm. Okay? That's a very, very strong position to come in. Okay? Now, you are protected on one side and forward and to whatever side you have your elbow going up on the side. So, you're open on the other side. But you're not going to attack with the open side. So, you're pretty well protected. If you're going to come in with that, come in hard. Because the way, if you do it the way I told you, you're going to have one elbow pointing, your elbow that's protecting your chin is horizontal, and the other one that is protecting the side of your head is vertical. So you're going to, you come in strong and you hit them as hard as you can just with that, just using two elbows. Whichever one lands first, it doesn't matter. Hit them with that. And that's a very strong move, especially if you use your body weight when you're coming in. You could possibly end the fight with that move if they don't have footwork. Even if they do have footwork, you're going to push them. You're going to at least lean their top torso back to where you're going to throw them off balance. And if you're slick enough to put a foot behind them as they're leaning back and continue that motion and just trip them, that fight could be done. And that would still be considered one move because you never broke your vampire. Okay? That's one way to get in close. Guys, you don't have to come in a straight line. So you don't have to come in face to face. You could angle a little bit and come in as they're turning to match you. You come in. If they're turning fast, if they have footwork and they see you doing that, then you might have no other choice but to come in shielded up. If they don't have footwork, you can figure out the best way to get in. If you have a backpack, a book, even car keys, anything you have. If you have a backpack or whatever, you could use that as a shield. Especially if it's against a knife. I would put the backpack on with the straps over my shoulders with the belly of the backpack covering my stomach. And then I could go in a little braver. It's not ideal, but it's better than me trying to stop the knife with my hands. But if you have the ability to throw something at them or distract them some way, somehow, before you come in, as that thing is flying in the air, you should be coming in on them already. So they're not focusing on you. They're focusing on whatever you threw at them. That's another way for you to get in close. Or the worst possibility is you let them come to you. I would rather prefer you take it to them than the defense and let them come to you. Because if you are on constant defense, you're losing the fight. Okay? So I want you guys to be aware with that, be aware of that. But understand that if you are closer to your attacker, you are safer if you know how to fight at those ranges and you know what to look for. Okay? So, you know, I'm not telling you to just go and do it without training it. You have to train this stuff, guys. You have to. So, with that being said, next week's episode, it's going to come from what we were just talking about, how to generate power on your punches. Okay? This is how a 100-pound person could hurt a 250-pound person. So I will tell you guys some tricks and tips on that. If you guys have any questions, comments, collab ideas, topic ideas, shoot me an email, andrew@riseabovesouthdefense.com, or visit the website www.riseabovesouthdefense.com. And remember, only you can unleash your inner badass.